It's been an especially snowy winter in many Alaska communities, and with heavy snowfall comes that question, should I shovel my roof? And the follow-up question, how do I do that without getting injured or breaking the bank? This year, those questions are a lot less hypothetical given that Anchorage alone has seen at least 9 roofs collapse this winter. We'll talk with local engineers about what's caused the collapses we've seen so far and what that tells us about who should be concerned right now on Talk of Alaska.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
It's Talk of Alaska. I'm Madeline Rose, in for Lori Townsend. If you have a roof over your head and you live in Anchorage or Juneau, experts say you should be at least thinking about whether or not it needs to be cleared of snow. I have a couple of those experts with me in the studio today to answer my questions and yours about snow loads, roof structures, and when and how to consider shoveling your roof. So today I am joined by Dr. Scott Hamill. Dr. Hamill is a professor and chair for the Department of Civil Engineering at the University of Alaska Anchorage. He was also part of a team that put together a comprehensive report on expected snow loads around the state. We'll get into some of that research in just a bit. I'm also joined by Daniel King. Daniel is a plan review engineer with the Municipality of Anchorage's Development Services Department, which has been communicating with property owners and tenants of local properties that the Muni has identified as potentially at risk of having a roof collapse. We'll hear in just a minute the word potential is very important. Quick disclaimer, Daniel is also married to an Alaska Public Media staff member. I should also note we were set to be joined by a local company that handles roof shoveling and ice dam removal, but unfortunately they ended up down a few people this week, and as you might expect, this has been a very busy season for companies in the business of snow removal. So, you can also be a part of today's conversation. Did you recently clear your roof, or are you wondering if you should? Has your house been making strange noises or otherwise responded in unexpected ways to these heavy snows? Well, you can call us with questions or comments statewide at 1-800-478-8255 or in Anchorage at 907-550-8422. You can also email us at talk@alaskapublic.org. Okay, thank you both for being here today. I'm going to start with the big question. It's very broad. I asked each of you this while we were preparing for the show. It's a good place to start. Should I shovel my roof? Scott, let's start with you.
Well, I think in general, the answer at the moment is no. I think that, we haven't reached our design snow load yet, but we're getting close. And we know we have a couple more months of winter. We don't know how much more snow we're going to get. Like you said, I think people should start thinking about it because we are getting kind of close. It depends a lot on your house, or if you're a commercial owner, what kind of roof you have. There's a lot of big question marks there. It depends, I think.
All right. And we're going to dig into some of those question marks. But before that, Daniel, do you have anything to add there?
Yeah, I would agree that it's mostly it depends situation. It really depends on the year of construction for your building. It depends on the condition of your building. It depends on if there has been ponding, if there are snow drifts that were unintended. It can go to a case-by-case basis on a lot of these. Our recommendations have been pre-1990 construction should consider snow removal. 1990 on, 2000 on are generally going to be a better condition and don't necessarily need snow removal, but still could be considered if we are going to be going over the design snow load this year.
All right. And let's define that real quick. So design snow load, there is a particular number in Anchorage and then different numbers for other communities around the state. Either of you want to jump in and explain what that is?
The design snow load for a roof in Anchorage is 40 pounds a square foot. The ground snow load for Anchorage is 50 pounds a square foot. So that's the probabilistic historical average of once in every, well, we call it a 50-year storm. It's actually a 2% probability every year of occurring. And so that's what will sit on the ground. Roofs, we know, actually have less snow than the ground. So that's why it's 40 pounds a square foot.
All right. So then let's kind of break down a little bit some of those question marks. Daniel, you had mentioned kind of the age of the buildings coming into play there. What particular about a building's age increases or decreases its chance of a roof collapse?
Yeah, so typically buildings are designed for a 50-year life. So older buildings will have a shorter life expectancy, we'd say. And that also plays into the condition of the building as well. If it hasn't been as well maintained or it's had longer for, in the case of these metal plate connected trusses, longer for those connections to weaken over time, it's something to consider. You know, newer construction, while designed to the current snow load, design loads, also have a lot more fabrication requirements that have to be met today that weren't necessarily in place back in the day. You know, there's not as many inspections required on stuff built in the 70s as there is today. So that is a large factor in it.
All right. Scott, anything to add?
No, I think that you know, building codes have changed. We've had building codes in place for, you know, since the 60s, I would say, maybe 70s, I'm not sure. But we've had building codes in place for a long time, but they evolve over time and they get better and inspection standards get better. And so, older structures tend to be, I wouldn't say more at risk, but definitely there's a little bit more level of confidence in a newer structure.
All right.
Yeah, and I would probably add to that, the design snow load for Anchorage is 40 pounds per square foot, and that's the minimum design snow load for a roof by code. And that's an amendment that we actually have to the code. If you were to design using the 50 pound per square foot ground snow load, you could potentially go below 40 pounds per square foot, but we've amended it. So prior to that amendment, you could have design snow loads of 35 pounds per square foot. And to consider stuff built in the 1960s and 70s, there wasn't the same standard of care for stuff that got constructed. So you could have an off-the-shelf building that is not designed for a snow load that got built in Anchorage that didn't consider the snow load at all. And so that's something to be concerned with for older construction.
All right. Scott, let's talk a little bit about the process behind kind of figuring out the design snow load. You were a part of that team that recently looked at communities all around the state and kind of refreshed those numbers. Can you talk to us a little bit about what that process looks like?
Yeah, that was a long process, actually, about 6 or 7 years from start to finish. Ironically, that was the very first thing that somebody asked me to do when I came to Alaska in 2011. They said, "Wow, we have all these snow loads that are out of date. Can you do something about this?" And so it took a couple of years to get some funding to do that. And then we basically gathered up all the data we could find all across the state, thousands and thousands of data points of historical snow depth and snow load measurements, and then essentially did a lot of math and statistics to figure out, you know, what we thought the 50-year snow load would be in each location. And then we actually got together a group of local structural engineers, and we vetted that data and made decisions based on a lot of different factors, including local knowledge, to essentially establish the loads in 50 different locations throughout the state, Anchorage being one of them. And then we went through another couple-year process to get that into the National Building Code. So the result of that was that we changed the National Building Code. Interestingly enough, Anchorage actually came out exactly where it was before. So it went down a half a pound, actually. It went down to 49.5 was the statistical numbers. The original studies were done in the 70s and early 80s. And so we had 30 years. Basically, we added 30 years of data to most of the larger cities. So we're pretty confident in those numbers historically. And the one thing that did change in Anchorage, and actually haven't talked about this with the Muni, is that the number or the snow load actually now goes up as you go up the hillside. I can't remember the number, but I think it's
7 pounds per square foot
per 100 feet. Seven, yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's a change. If you go back to like the 70s, there was no change. We know that there's more snow as you go up the hillside. And local designers knew that, and they designed for better structures. But if you know, as Daniel said, if you had a building that was imported from somewhere, an architect that was imported from somewhere and didn't know that, then there was no code requirement prior to 2022 for increasing your snow load as you go up the hillside. So that was the one big change to Anchorage.
All right. And you also mentioned that this is done with historical data. I remember when we were talking earlier, you kind of added a caveat that, you know, it can only account for things that have happened so far.
Correct. Right. There's no, we have not incorporated anything related to climate change or, you know, and the last 2 years, actually, we're not involved in that process. So we should rerun that and see what the change is now.
All right. Yeah. And so, you know, talking about this year then, right now, if you were to take a square foot off of an average roof in Anchorage, do you have a sense for kind of what it would weigh, how close we're getting to that 40 pounds per square foot mark?
I've heard numbers anywhere from 20 to 35 pounds a square foot. And I would say roughly on average, we're probably in about 30 pounds a square foot.
Do you have any concern that we would hit 40 this year?
Yes. I think if we got a big, heavy, wet snowstorm in early March, typically one of the other things we learned from that snow study is that the highest depth of snow generally occurs in late February, but the highest load of snow occurs somewhere in the neighborhood of March 10th. Because, you know, that's the point where we start to get some melt and the sun starts to hit things. And so that's really our, you know, if we get a big snowstorm right kind of before that, then we could get up close to 40 or above.
All right. If you are just joining us, this is Talk of Alaska. Today we are talking about snow loads on roofs, the potential for roof collapse, and how to prevent that, and whether you should be clearing your roof. If you have a question or comment and you'd like to get in touch, you can reach us statewide at 1-800-478-8255. In Anchorage, the number is 907-550-8422. You can also email us talk@alaskapublic.org. Before we move on from that snow study, is the information from that study publicly available?
Yes, there's a website. The Structural Engineering Association of Alaska has a great snow loads page. There is data there. There are the reports that we wrote are there. There's presentations, videos of presentations there. So the data is a little bit hard to interpret if you're not an engineer, but it's all available.
All right, perfect. So then, Daniel, I'm going to turn to you for a second. If we have been working with the 40 pounds per square foot mark in Anchorage for a while, and we haven't exceeded that this winter, what is causing some roofs to buckle? I mentioned in the beginning that we've seen about 9. A story from Alaska Public Media yesterday actually said 10. It sounds like there's a slight, like a partial collapse that might kind of, so almost like 9.5. I'll let you explain.
Yeah, we could say that we're at 9.5 collapses, the 10th one being a small canopy, we believe, that the fire department responded to, and we didn't respond to that one since it's an outlier in this set. The 9 that we have responded to at the building department and development services, 6 of those have been parallel cord, metal plate connected wood trusses. 2 were vacant buildings, and one was already scheduled for demolition, and then the other one was actually a pre-engineered metal building from the 60s with a 9-foot canopy overhang that collapsed. It was just bolted on. That's one that we think would be an off-the-shelf condition from the 1960s, where it may not have been designed for the snow load here. The 6 that did collapse this winter that are these parallel wood trusses, those ones should have been designed in an era that 40 pounds per square foot was the design snow load. And anything that we've been able to see as far as construction documents say that. But what we've found is the standard of care for construction, any inspections that we would now require today on this weren't conducted back then. And it was in a time when contractors and these wood truss manufacturers were trying to get things built and put out as fast as possible. So, you know, they didn't necessarily pay attention to the connections as much. What we found sometimes is the plate connections are peeling off or missing completely in some locations from some of these buildings, which would indicate just low level of care in the construction process or in installing them in place. So while the design snow load is 40 pounds per square foot for this building, the trusses we're finding are failing well below that because they don't have the connections that the designer originally intended for them to have.
All right. And you had mentioned these have all been commercial buildings so far and mentioned that the risk is kind of more for commercial versus residential buildings. What plays into that difference?
A large part of that for commercial construction is that they would have this type of truss first and foremost. Most residential construction is going to be pitched, not all, but most would be pitched. And the spans of residential construction are somewhere between, we'll say, 20 and 25, 30 feet. Whereas the commercial constructions that have failed have been over 30 feet. Anywhere from 40 to 80 feet are where we're seeing these failures occurring. Another item is... residential construction has a lot of redundant walls, interior partition walls, that could pick up some load and help alleviate poorer construction in the roof trusses. So our main focus has been on commercial construction since that's where we've seen these failures.
All right. Scott, anything to add there?
Nope. I think Daniel did a good job of describing that. One thing I would add is that it's not necessarily the construction. I think there was some design misunderstanding. They didn't entirely understand this type of design in the 1970s and early 80s. So, yeah, we could go down the academics road of that, but the takeaway is really that, you know, things are failing at 25 pounds a square foot, to put a number on it. So, you know, if you have a flat roof of this style and you're wondering whether or not you should shovel it, the answer is definitely, absolutely, 100% yes, you'd need to shovel it, because we have already exceeded 25 almost everywhere in town. And so, you know, it could fail at any moment.
All right. Well, this seems like a good opportunity to start talking about how exactly to go about shoveling. We have a caller. Steve is in Anchorage. Steve, thank you for calling in.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Some of the practical side of shoveling snow, like the remembering to stretch beforehand before, you know, that yoga sort of comes in handy. I happen to be a keen fan. A long time ago, got tuned up on a grain shovel, the long-handled grain shovel. It happens to scoop a nicer scoop of snow than like some of those big, I'll call them the cheesy Wisconsin driveway shovels that most people have. One aspect is addressing just personal tools. Remembering little things like when you put your ladder down to get up to your roof, you know, really stuff it down in the snow there. Make sure it's all the way down. Also, big, big warning, especially for all our young children, be hesitant on jumping off of roofs into shoveled snow, because your legs go straight down, but if your body's still carrying forward, then you can break things, which would be a bad way to start a day. Just some of the little things. I'm very, very pleased with them. I was educated that the Valdez snow scoop was pioneered by a high school student in Valdez in 1985 or 6. I think that was the Snowmageddon year of Valdez, one of them. And he went to his metal shop and built up the aluminum snow scoop. It's a very, very handy tool. You can use it if you have a bad back, you can push snow more than you can scoop snow. But, those considerations of having fun up there. The other fun thing to remember on snow is snow shovels and making them into big cubes. You know, literally, you'll shovel your roof and discover you can build an igloo in your front yard. With other little considerations such as carports, oh my word, it may be better to park your car in the street or in your front yard and put a post up to keep that carport from collapsing. And even the simplest as an emergency triage for a commercial operator on timing, if you had reservations, you know, buying a couple 6x6s and shoving a 4x4 in the middle of your building establishment. As a customer, I can work around shopping in your establishment and working around a brace, you know, like if there are some temporary braces, and, you know, temporary braces are temporary. It's like, oh, looks like it's bending. You know, there's lots of aspects to jacks and considerations and safety, but to the levels of taking small little steps, it's not hard. So I just wanted to give a shout out, mostly for the snow shoveling of, like, the memory stretching and trying to stay away from that twisting for all you old guys with bad backs.
Absolutely.
And that lifting, scooping. So, yeah, thank you for hearing me.
All right. Yeah, thank you for all those tips, Steve. Those were very helpful. And this seems like a good opportunity to kind of talk a little bit about your own personal experiences. Scott and Daniel, have either of you cleared your roofs this winter?
Yeah, I've actually gone up and cleared a portion of my roof. My primary concern this winter was ice damming, and which is where the snow on the roof will melt because it's warm through your attic. It's too warm through your attic. There's not enough ventilation or insulation potentially. And so your warm, wet snow melts and runs down to the eaves, which are cold, and it freezes. And then you end up with this dam of ice that allows water then to collect as it more melts. And then that water can go and infiltrate into your roof and then into your house, which I heard when I bought my house this last year, that last winter they had ice damming and had to get some repairs. So that's been a primary concern for me this winter. So I've gone up a couple times to clear snow on the portion of the roof that had the ice damming last year. And it's pretty low slope, so I felt pretty comfortable up there. I was able to set up a ladder, but I had my husband stand outside just in case I fell off, and was able to clear the snow. I think the biggest thing being, if you are going as far as keeping your house safe, I think the caller made really good recommendations on keeping yourself safe and your family safe. But keeping your house safe, you want to make sure that you don't clear down to the shingles of your roof. You want to maintain a couple inches, because shoveling onto the asphalt shingles, you could damage them, and that could cause a place for water to get in. So trying to keep a few inches of snow is probably helpful.
All right. Scott, have you cleaned off your roof this year?
I cleaned off a little bit. My house actually has an upper roof that could slide down onto a lower roof. And we installed some solar panels, and those tend to slide when the sun hits them in like late February. And so that portion of my roof basically would end up with two or three times as much snow as it's supposed to have. And so I usually clear that lower roof so that when it does slide, it doesn't, collapse the lower portion. So, but yeah, there's a lot of snow up there. Those are all really good tips. I think, if you have the ability if you're going up really high or you have a steep slope, being able to tie into something is really helpful. Otherwise you can really get hurt. So.
All right. And both of you mentioned only clearing off part of your roof, not the entire thing. We did get a question email from Gordon, who was asking about the practice of partial snow removal. They said, for several years, I've shoveled roof snow at the lower edge of the roof, from the gutters to 3 feet up the roof. I do this to prevent ice dams and gutter damage. Is this a good idea, bad idea? What are your thoughts?
I think it's a good idea. It allows you to maintain eye contact on the area of ice damming. It doesn't necessarily remove a ton of load from the roof, so it's not great for snow load removal, but it is great for keeping an eye on your ice damming and identifying where you could have water collecting. So clearing snow at your eaves at a minimum is, when you have that concern, is a good idea.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you're trying to remove load, you'd want to go higher than 3 feet. Because usually 3 feet is the snow that's sitting on your wall, which is not really a big issue. We are actually, today is actually like prime ice damming day. We actually get a lot of ice damming. This happened last year. When it gets up to 40 degrees, stuff starts to melt. And then particularly in the evening, when the temperature drops back down, you get all the ice. All that water starts to turn into ice right at the edge of your roof. So you do want to be a little bit careful with removing around the edge, because I've discovered one of the things that happened last year is that people removed the bottom, say, 5 feet of snow around their eaves. And then the ice dam actually just moves its way up to where the snow is, because the snow is insulating the water as it comes down. And then as soon as it hits the air, it freezes. And so there was actually a school near me where they shoveled the first 10 feet of snow around the base because they were having ice damming. And then later on, they cleared the rest of the roof, and there was this beautiful ring of ice dam 10 feet up where the previous snow line was. So, but in general, that's not as much of a concern, I would say, as just a huge ice dam right at your eave.
Are there any other potential risks to only clearing off part of your roof?
Yeah, if you massively unbalance your roof, that can be bad. And the other thing I think maybe we forgot to mention is that you definitely want to clear lower roofs first. If sort of like my house where I've only cleared the lower roof because the upper roof's going to slide. But if you're going to clear the upper roof, you should clear the lower roof first, because otherwise you end up with twice as much snow on the lower roof as it's designed for. So, but if you massively unbalance your roof, that can be bad. But massively unbalanced meaning like you completely clear one side of your house and don't touch at all the other side of your house. I think in general, residential construction is pretty resilient. And so if you just clear, you know, the bottom 6 feet or the bottom 10 feet or all around your edges, then that should be fine.
Yeah, I think he brings up a good point of unbalanced snow loading on your roof. Yeah, if you clear from the eave down on one side and the other side's fully loaded, you imagine, you know, that pressure on that side could affect what's happening on the other side. And that balanced loading is when it's all pressing at the same rate, right? The other item is, as he said, if you're clearing your high roof, you should clear your low roof first. The same thing would go for if you're just clearing one roof. Don't shovel the snow from the eave to the middle of the roof as you're trying to carry it down the roof. You could end up overloading the middle of the roof. So what you want to do is probably clear from the eaves up and just move the snow down as you need to.
All right. We have a couple more callers. I'm going to try to get to a few of these before we get to our first break. So first up, we have Sharon in Anchorage. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right.
The question I have is there a potentially the load being reduced significantly by this warm weather?
Great question.
I would say that the snow is not increased by the warm weather necessarily. The warm weather is allowing the snow to become more dense, right? It's condensing. But unless it's melting and going off of the roof structure, the same amount of snow is on the roof. It's just more compacted.
Yeah, there is some melting happening. I could hear some on my roof this morning melting off, like the gutters were dripping. Mm-hmm. But for the amount of snow that we have, snow is an excellent insulator. And so you're not gonna lose significant amounts in the next couple of days. You might lose, out of 30 pounds a square foot, we might lose one or two, which is good. Mm-hmm. Particularly if you have a pitched roof, an angled roof, a gable roof, then you know it'll drain down and form ice dams potentially. But it actually is more problematic for flat roofs. So if you have a flat roof, things can drain into the middle, and if your drains aren't working, that can actually be worse because you're moving load towards the places where you don't want it to be. So, but for your house, we will lose a little bit of snow, which is good.
All right. And before our break, we have one more question that's kind of on a similar vein. Michael is in Hillside. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. My question is kind of the same. You might have already sort of answered it. I'm on the upper hillside, and we've also had very high winds along with this warm weather. So I would have to think that a lot of evaporation would be going on, which would really lessen the weight on the roof. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, wind is great. We love wind. Wind blows the snow off for sure. Actually, we got a little bit of sublimation last week, which increases when it's super cold too. But yeah, wind, if you have a good exposure to wind, then you're going to lose a fair amount of snow. Although you have to be careful because sometimes it blows it into a spot and densifies it into a drift. So depends on what your roof looks like and what your exposure is.
All right, perfect. Well, I'm going to pause us right there. We need to go to our first break. So if you are just tuning in, this is Talk of Alaska, and today we are talking about snow loads on roofs, the potential for roof collapse, and whether or not and how you should clear your roof of snow. We are going to take a quick break, but if you'd like to call in to make a comment or ask a question, you can reach us statewide at 1-800-478-8255. Or in Anchorage, the number is 907-550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. We'll be right back after a quick break. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. I'm Madeline Rose, in for Lori Townsend, and today we are talking about snow loads on roofs, the potential for roof collapse, and whether or not you should be shoveling your roof. I'm joined today by two civil engineers. We have Dr. Scott Hamill, who is the chair and professor for the Department of Civil Engineering with the University of Alaska Anchorage, and Daniel King, who is the plan review engineer for the municipality of Anchorage. And we are here to answer your questions. We've got a few more that we're going to get through here. So we'll go right on. We've got Martin calling from Fairbanks. Welcome to the show, Martin.
Hello. Yeah, I hate to disrupt things by calling from Fairbanks. We've had a couple of winters lately in a row. We had one, I forget, it was 2 or 3 years ago, where it rained in the middle of, we got an inch of rain after it had a warm spell in the winter, and then it froze again and snowed a bunch more, and it's the only time I've actually, you know, had someone shovel my roof. It's a small cabin. But a lot of people in town, you know, they notice, you know, shifts in the lintels over the doors and things. But my question really is about the effect of the slope of the roof on snow loads. You know, I have a lot of outbuildings also, and, you know, I try and make the angle, the pitch on the roof enough so the snow slides off. I don't have to shovel it at all during the winter. And I just wonder, maybe we have more than Anchorage does, but we got a lot of do-it-yourself builders up here. And I'm worse than that even. I call myself an erector set builder. I have no idea what I'm doing. I say, this looks strong enough. And so far, so good. But for people that kind of, you know, you're talking about contractors and engineers and all that, you know, I'm none of that. And could you address slopes of roofs? And I think it's crazy to build with a flat roof up here, to be honest with you. I don't see any reason to have a slope, at least with when it melts, it'll run off. Anyway, but comment on the slopes of roofs and that kind of thing. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, Scott, I saw you nodding a little bit there.
Yeah, so it's funny. One of the classes, graduate classes I teach is called Loads on Structures. And we spend a couple of weeks on snow loads, and there's lots of different factors when an engineer figures out how much snow is actually supposed to be on a roof. There's drift, is one of them, wind, exposure. One of them is slope. What's interesting is that the slope at which a roof needs to be, for anything to actually slide is quite steep. It's steeper than you would imagine. More than 45 degrees. I can't actually remember. There's a little chart. And it's a little bit, I think it's less, it's definitely less if you have a metal roof, a slippery roof. Maybe it's 45 degrees if it's a slippery roof, I think. And then it's like more like 60 degrees if you have an asphalt roof. So it's quite steep. That doesn't mean it won't slide. If it's, you know, you had the right conditions, but in order to rely on that sliding to reduce the snow load, it has to be pretty steep. And this is the reason why once you start to learn about that, you start to notice things, things like, you know, in Norway, they have a lot of A-frame structures, right? Because that's the steepness at which you can rely on things to slide off. So, but yeah, steep roofs are good. I don't know. You want to add anything?
No, your memory of the chart is about as good as mine is, but that's something that we use in design regularly. And when I'm reviewing drawings, that's one thing that we check. So the 40 pound per square foot snow load that we refer to is a flat roof snow load, and that's the minimum flat roof snow load for Anchorage. Outside of that, there is a sloped roof snow load that you can use using a factor based on whether you have a slippery metal roof surface or an asphalt shingle non-slippery surface, right? And that could get you below 40 pound per square foot. And that is considered in the design ahead of time, typically. Sometimes roofs will go from being asphalt shingle to metal roof. And so you could see a reduction in snow load required in your design, but you have to be worried about the opposite direction. So when we have a metal roof, in town that would want to go to an asphalt shingle roof, we have to ask that question. You know, what was it designed for? 40 pounds per square foot or a reduced sloped roof load because it was previously a metal roof? And that's something to consider as well. If you were to switch to a metal roof at any point, trying to get that snow load down, you still have to contest with doors, windows, decks, access, where you may have to put cleats on your roof to prevent the snow from sliding, and then you're still going to be dealing with that 40 pound per square foot snow load.
All right, and I think that's a good segue into another caller question we have. Patrick is in Anchor Point, and it sounds like you have a question about modifying existing structures.
Yeah, great program. My question, having heard that there's about 1,000 of these flat roofs at risk in Anchorage, and with a couple of engineers on the line, is there any talk or plan to potentially modify, previous caller Steve said, you know, a post, but something a little more permanent to buttress those failing trusses, either additional metal plates or additional trusses, whatever it might take, to prevent, you know, early demise of 1,000 buildings? And then kind of a couple related questions, just thinking about the financial impacts of that. Is there any talk, I hate to talk about liability if a building's failing sooner than it should or it's lighter snow loads than it should, but just sort of what would the financial repercussions of potentially 1,000 buildings either needing to be torn down, rebuilt, refurbished, or something before their life cycle is up? And could that have any trickle down to local property insurance values? I know the bean counters are frequently looking at what are the risks of an area, you know, in terms of their potential payouts. So those were my basic questions. I know there's about three rolled in there.
All right. Thank you, Patrick. I think this is a good opportunity. You know, we've touched on it a little bit, but to talk about kind of what happened in Anchorage recently with those notices that went out to property owners and tenants. Mm-hmm. Daniel, do you want to talk through the process? Because it sounds like not necessarily all of those buildings will or are at risk, but it's just a potential thing.
Yeah. So what we've been able to do from last year's failures and this year's failures is identify a pattern. These flat roofs that use metal plate connected wood trusses are a majority of the failures that we've seen. And in identifying that, we're trying
pre-1990.
Yeah. The failures have been before 1990. We haven't had any after 1990. But in identifying that, we were wanting to make sure business owners, specifically since the commercial buildings are the ones that are failing, know that this is a concern. Not everyone listens to the radio. Not everyone reads the newspaper. And so this was an effort by the municipality to reach those that may not know that they have this type of construction, you know, or know that it's a concern. So what we did was we used publicly available property appraisal data to narrow this list of parcels that may have this type of construction on them. We used a year built that's available in there from 1970 to 1990 to try and narrow it down. And we only looked at commercial, and then we looked at type of construction that they list. And they only list four things for property appraisal. That one is wood, which is obviously one that could be these metal plate connected trusses. One is fire resistive, which could also be a wood roof using CMU walls or something like that. Then there's fireproof and steel. And fireproof is typically going to be concrete or could be steel as well, depending on how they finish it. So we looked at wood and fire resistive to get this list. Following that, we went through and looked at a map of Anchorage for all of these parcels, trying to identify if there's only one building on the property, is it a flat roof or a pitched roof? Since our main concern is for flat roofs, we took out anything that we could identify as a pitched roof. If there are multiple buildings on the property, we tried to look at all of them. If we couldn't identify, then we left it on the map. From there, we sent letters to all of the building owners or the property owners to notify them of this concern and asking them to respond whether they do have the construction, whether they wanted someone to come out and look for them. If they could open up the attic, then we have inspectors that we've been sending out to look and identify if they do have this type of construction or not. And if they don't know, or if they do know that it is, or we identify it as it is, we ask them to shovel their roof. Because as we said, we're over 25 pound per square foot, and a lot of these failures are happening at 25 or even less.
All right. And then kind of circling back to Patrick's question there, if a business owner got this notification, they inspect the roof and find that they do have that particular kind of roof structure. Is it possible to sort of reinforce that, or should they just be kind of focusing on snow removal?
Yeah, and it's definitely possible to reinforce it. And we've seen a few retrofit permits come in this last year to try and reinforce some of these connectors. We're working on identifying the best way to handle this. Because there's so many connection points, it could lead you to needing to reinforce every connection point on the roof. If you can't identify a weak point in the construction, you know, you may only have one metal plate connector that's not fully seated or connected properly, or you could have 50. And then how do you identify where those are without looking at the whole roof? So there's ways to do a retrofit, but we're working with engineers in town to identify the best way forward. Since we have so many potential buildings in town, we know it can be very expensive to rip out your your gypboard ceiling, it's going to be a lot of work moving forward. So the first thing that can be done is to remove the snow, and that's going to alleviate a lot of the load on your roof. You imagine that your roof is supporting potentially 30 pounds per square foot right now, and your roof itself weighs about 15 pounds per square foot. So that's three times the self-weight of the roof is on the roof right now. And so we're asking people to remove the snow so it's only supporting its self-weight. And that will be a safer condition for the roof to be in until it can be analyzed and reviewed by engineers to identify how it can be reinforced.
All right. And how are you recommending that people go about removing the snow from those roofs?
Carefully. For commercial construction, we specifically are recommending that you hire a licensed and bonded contractor in town. That could be, if you have a small building, it could be a handyman. Handymen are allowed to do projects and they are licensed to do most things, but you want to make sure that they are licensed and bonded, and that's for your insurance, your safety, you know, otherwise you could be on the hook. And the same thing would go for homeowners. You can remove the snow yourself if you feel safe to do so or are capable of doing so, but if you aren't, we would recommend that you hire somebody so that you are not liable if they get injured on your roof.
All right. Let's see. I think now is actually a good time for us to take our second break. So if you're just tuning in, we are talking about snow loads on roofs around the state, particularly in Anchorage, and the potential for collapse, whether or not you should clear it off. I am joined by two civil engineers today who are answering our questions. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, we've got a few people queued up already, but you can reach us statewide at 1-800-478-8255. In Anchorage, the number is 907-550-8422. You can also email us, talk@alaskapublic.org. We will be back in just a minute to answer more of your questions. All right, welcome back to Talk of Alaska. I'm Madeline Rose, in for Lori Townsend, and today we are talking about snow on roofs. A handful of roofs have collapsed in Anchorage this winter. Juneau has also seen some collapses, as well as sinking boats from heavy snows. So today we have a couple engineers in the studio who are answering your questions about how best to go about removing snow and whether or not you should. So one thing that we were talking about just here in the break, and we also touched on it a little bit before the show, is what to do with the snow once it gets off your roof. I know personally there is a massive pile of snow in my front yard right now, and that is just from shoveling our driveways. I guess my first question is there any concern about come spring or warmer temperatures like we're seeing now, any snow that has piled up either from shoveling driveways or from shoveling roofs kind of leaking in or flooding into buildings?
Yeah, that could be a concern this spring. I think I heard of some people having that last winter or last spring. And the recommendation for that would be to clear the snow away from your house. The further you can get the snow away from your house or around your foundation, the less infiltration you should be able to expect at that point. So I will have to do that this spring, I think, is clear some of the snow away from the house. Since I have thrown it off of the roof, it is near the house. I will probably shovel further away when I get into the spring. Another item to consider when you clear the snow off your roof on your personal properties is maintaining your access to egress. You want to make sure that your back door and front door are cleared, and any egress windows that you may have for windows are cleared. A lot of houses have basements that have bedrooms, and those will have their egress windows, their escape windows. And so you want to make sure that you maintain that access.
All right. I just lost my train of thought. Let's go ahead and go back to the phones for just a second. We've got David calling from Anchorage. It sounds like a question about ice dams.
Yeah, I live on the hillside, and I have a sloped roof from a building. It was built in 85, and we did replace the gutter system just a couple years ago, but we have a significant dam of ice that's building up there, and I was wondering, they do call it an ice dam. Is it because any of the water doesn't roll off the roof and stays on there, and does it sort of like soak in? What happens if you leave the dam, and how do you remove it if you have to?
Yeah.
No, Scott, do you want to take that one?
Sure. that actually the SEAC webpage that I mentioned, there's a recording of a presentation that I gave along with Dr. Bart Quimby about ice dams last year about this time, because it was a bigger problem last year. So what happens is that the heat from your house comes up, even if it's below zero or below 32 outside, the heat from your house comes up through your attic and it melts the snow under, or the snow, right? The snow that's against your roof, and then dribbles down your roof as water. As I said, snow is a good insulator. So even if it's 0 degrees outside, you can actually get snow dripping down underneath on the underside of the snow or water. And then when it hits that cold edge, it freezes. And so one of the things that can happen is that once you get a big enough dam, the water up at the top just pools there. Right, so you can actually get a pool of water that sits under the snow above the ice dam, and the biggest issue with that is that it'll you know go up under your shingles and into your saturate the OSB or plywood or whatever you have under your shingles, and so that's really, I think, the most damaging thing. Now there's a thing called ice shield. Which is basically a waterproof membrane, and the bottom 6 feet?
Three feet?
Is that what it is? Okay. So newer construction requires ice shield to be around basically from the bottom of your eave up 3 feet. So, that would not have been the case in 1985 for sure. That's your biggest worry there. Removing it, the best thing to do is to remove the snow, because then you no longer have the water sitting behind it, because the water will freeze. You'll get a bigger ice dam, but you won't have water. So that's step one. Removing the ice dam, unless it gets really thick, you can do a lot of damage to your roof if you try to remove it. So I've seen people use heaters, salt, heat trace, you know, Alaskans are industrious, right?
Yeah.
Daniel, did you want to add something there?
Yeah. The ice and water shield, I think it's about 3 feet from the face of the house up, from the wall of the house up. And then that is for if your roof pitch is greater than 4 inches on 12 inches. If it's under that, if it's a lower slope, then it actually is required over the whole roof. And I think that's actually a local amendment to the code that gets us there, which is great for new construction, but not on older construction. It's not existing there. And I think the idea of heat trace works well as far as maintaining some sort of line of water clearing. So heat trace is a good option. You don't want to do damage to your shingles. And so going up there, trying to knock it off, you have to be careful not to damage the asphalt shingles that the ice is now adhered to. So you have to be careful with that.
All right. And we have a caller question and an emailed question that seem kind of in the same vein. I'll read the email first. We have a question from Mark who is wondering if something can be used to melt ice and snow on roofs. And I think we have a similar question from Ken in Anchorage. Ken, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Hi there. Yeah. My question is the use of heat tape on a roof. I know we have the ice dams on the roof of ours, and we put in heat tape. And what is a typical spacing that you'd be doing? And How high up the roof would you take heat tape on a normal sloping roof?
So I would say that goes to the manufacturer of the heat trace. I actually installed some on my eave where I had some issues, or where the house had issues last year. And they give specific recommendations on the pitch of the roof, how long the eave is, if you have gutters or not. So I would lean on the manufacturer of the heat trace to tell you what you should be doing with their product.
Yeah, I would point out a couple of things. One, Daniel mentioned that you your primary goal here is actually to remove the water. So if you can get a couple of canals kind of through your ice, then that's actually really good, because then the water will kind of go through that. I have some friends who have used ice melt inside of like a pantyhose or some other kind of porous material, and you just throw it up there, and it actually works pretty well because the ice melt will melt through the ice and it creates a canal, essentially. And that works really well when it's 40. Actually, it does not work at all when it's zero. And then the other thing to keep in mind, I think, is that the ice will, or the water will start to freeze as soon as it hits the wall of your house, because that's where the, you know, it's cold underneath the eave. And so the distance up the roof is dependent on how big of an eave you have, or if you have like a unheated porch roof, then, you know, you could have 6 or 8 or 10 feet of cold before you hit the warm house. So that's one of the reasons why it depends highly on how high up to go.
All right, perfect. And we just have a few minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure that we take some time to talk about how you can determine personally whether or not you should be shoveling your roof or your business's roof. And I think we've got a caller question that might be in that vein. Brian is calling in from Anchorage. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I've got a fourplex in Spinard, and it does touch on that last comment. What kind of inspections can I be making on my property, both externally and from within an attic, to determine if I might be at risk?
That's an excellent question. I would say from the attic perspective, you can actually poke your head up and see inside there. If it's most, a lot of residential construction will have, as Daniel mentioned, metal plate truss, wood trusses connected with metal plates. And if you see that, if you look at the metal plates, you can actually tell, even if you're not an engineer, you can tell if your plates are starting to peel away. If they're separated from the wood, they should be flush and flat with the wood. And there shouldn't be any sort of distortion, or it shouldn't look like the wood is sort of scraping through, or there shouldn't be a ton of teeth marks. And so if they all look nice and flat and flush, then your roof's in pretty good shape. From, you know, deformations of walls, cracking in the top, in the sheetrock and the top of walls, or roofs, sagging of roofs, all these things are sort of indications that the building is unhappy. You want to add anything?
Yeah, I'd say the longer you've been in the building, the more you'll know your building. So, you know, if in previous winters when we haven't had this snow load, you have a door that sticks, that could be some freeze thaw that's occurring that's going to be standard. But if you have doors that did not previously stick that are now sticking and you can't close it, windows, the same thing. If you have new cracks in your drywall, in your ceiling, or in your walls, those are good indications that your roof is loaded more now than it has been previously and should be considered for shoveling. Another item when you go into your attic to look at it, you know, as Scott was saying, identifying if your plates are peeling away. If you can stick a ID card or a credit card between the plate and the wood truss, it's peeling away. You know, if you put two behind there, it's peeling further, and you should, you know, be concerned about that and talk to a local engineer that's qualified to identify for repairs on stuff like that.
All right. Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to touch on that point as well, the potential to hire a professional to come in and look at your home or look at your building. How does someone go about that?
Good luck.
Yeah.
I imagine it's a pretty busy time of year.
Yeah. It's been very busy for a lot of the larger outfits in town. I'm aware of, and so smaller outfits as well, I'm sure are experiencing this. I would say you can reach out to engineers in town. You can look up civil engineers or structural engineers and try and get in contact with someone. We're working on building a training for engineers in town on how to look at these trusses moving forward and developing a list of engineers that would be interested in doing this work.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you both so much. That is all the time we have today. Thank you to my guests, Dr. Scott Hamill, professor and chair of the UAA Department of Civil Engineering, and Daniel King, plan review engineer with the Municipality of Anchorage. I'm Madeline Rose. Our board engineer today was Chris Hyde. Our producer was Annie Feit. And on the phones today, we had Tobin Shelby and Lou Ramirez Discerns helping us out. This has been a great conversation. Thank you both. And that is all for today's Talk of Alaska. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk of Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.